Welcome to the Compliance Perspectives Podcast. I'm Adam Turtletail from the Society of Corporate Compliance and Ethics. Joining me today from Los Angeles is Barney Rosenberg. Barney is a former Global Vice President of Ethics and Business Conduct for Meggitt, which is a British aerospace firm. Barney's long been involved in the ethics and compliance world. Barney, thanks for taking the time to talk to us.
Thanks, Adam. Nice to be here.
So we're going to talk today about the idea of openness, and openness for specifically for compliance and ethics team. Barney, first, how would you define what openness is in the compliance and ethics office?
That's a really good question. I think it's about creating a climate where people can express their hopes, their dreams, their aspirations, their frustrations, without fear of retaliation in any form.
That's good clearance, certainly to the point. So, but when it comes to creating that thing, what are some of the behaviors by the compliance and ethics team that you have found will actually encourage the openness?
I had a really positive experience some years ago. I had just started a new job and was blessed with the guidance of a really good human resources executive. And he persuaded me to engage in the following exercise with my new team, which consisted of about 45 people. And it involved three questions. What do you know about Barney? What do you want to know about Barney that you don't know? And almost as important, what do you want him to know about you? And the guidance that this HR person gave me was, this will only work if you are totally open with the team. And you know what? It was fabulous. And it really started things off on a good footing. So that's My experience about openness in the workplace and with a team is it's got to start with me. I've got to be open if I want to encourage openness from others.
Yeah, I can imagine. Also, if you ask people, what do you know to that point? What do you know about the compliance office? I think it would be very interesting to hear what employees would have to say.
Adam, if I could add one more thought. Early in my career, somebody shared with me a concept that has stuck with me for a long time. And I summarized it as, remember the cube. We didn't always have mahogany row and offices with doors that closed. We all started somewhere, and generally it was working in a cubicle alongside other people who were just starting out in their careers. And it's been a reminder to me throughout my career that everybody started somewhere, and we have to kind of keep in mind patience as we deal with people who haven't had our life experience, our work experience, and bring them along so that the next generation can do even better than we did. I hope that's helpful. Remember the cube.
No, I think it's great. It's a good argument for empathy, which is important everywhere. So that's how you sort of get the door open and get conversation going. What are some things, behaviors that can inadvertently discourage openness?
I sort of like to describe it this way. Small things make a big difference. I tell the story of a comma and what a difference a comma can make. So imagine the following two sentences. Do it right now. Or let's add a comma. Do it right, comma, now. That comma makes a big difference. And if you encourage people to do the right thing, they will. If you are a dictator and say, do it right now, you've lost them. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. And I think it really does make the argument that you really can't be, I mean, compliance has to be directive to a certain point, but a lot of it is really about treating things as a conversation rather than a series of commands or orders.
Yeah, I once worked with a fabulous manager. And I didn't report to him, but I watched him in action often enough. He was great at saying, all right, guys, how am I doing? Where am I getting it wrong? What can we do together to make it right? And it was disarming. And lo and behold, people approached him and they told him what they thought. It was great.
That's terrific. And it certainly is a good, you know, really way to sort of break down the barriers, you know, especially given how much hesitance people have about approaching compliance and ethics teams. So how do you respond to someone who says, look, we want employees to be open with us, but we have sensitive material here. We can't be open about that. You know, we can't talk, for example, you know, which is real as a compliance team about where we are with investigations, what we found, what we didn't, which is to anyone who's curious. How do you respond to someone in that situation where you can't be as open as they might want or you might want to be?
Years ago, when I worked at a different aerospace company, which had been awarded a major, we're talking a really big contract for a highly classified program, which means there were a lot of things about that were off limits for a public discussion. I had to fly to New York City to address a group of potential investors. And what I said to them was, there are some things I can tell you, and there are some things I cannot tell you because it's classified. For the things that I cannot tell you, I'm going to tell you why I can't tell you. And we proceeded from there. At the end of the day, we ended up raising $1 billion in private funding instead of having to go to the public markets. It worked really well. So candor goes a long way.
And it seems as if it's not just candor saying I can't tell you that, but a lot of it is taking the time to give the people the reason why you can't say it.
Right. And it's also okay to say, I don't know. It's not only I don't know, but what do you think about that? Bring them into the conversation. Create a climate where you can talk to each other. Because when you're talking, you're teaching. When you're listening, you're learning.
Yeah, good point. It's also, I think, one of the things that's interesting is it can be, as we've alluded to a bit, very disarming for people, and it sort of shifts the power. I have a cousin who worked in sales who said, you know, a lot of salespeople try and act like they know everything when they go in the door, and she was very open about the fact that she didn't know what their situation was and would say, help me out. Am I being, you know, selling you being stupid as I tell you this, or does this make sense or not? And she said, what was interesting is it sort of shifted the burden on them. You know, that wasn't her intention, but there was sort of this different, it changed the relationship by just being candid about what you do and don't know and what you can and can't do.
Yeah, I think there it's also okay to draw some lines when you are in a managerial role. I've seen so many situations where people are appointed to their first position where they're managing the careers and the performance of others. And they've been promoted without any guidance. It's their first time in that kind of position. And I have to remind folks that when you are doing that, you're no longer, quote, one of the guys. It's important to establish that there are some limits, that there are things that you will be able to share, some things you won't, and that you have a different set of responsibilities and obligations now that you maybe didn't have before when you worked next to them on the shop floor.
Yeah, and that's as true for the person working on the shop floor as it is for the person in the compliance office. So, which leads to sort of a closing question about, you know, openness within the team. I mean, there's some limits even with a compliance team about where you're going to talk with each other. How did you, as a leader of an ethics, you know, office, encourage openness within the members of your team?
You know, I'm given to quoting the great American poet Maya Angelou. And she said, "People won't remember what you said, and they won't remember what you did, but they will remember how you made them feel." And I always tried to keep that in mind. I didn't always do it, but it's a good good guide.
Yeah, basically, if you make them feel better and a part of things, it helps a lot. And likewise, if you shut them down, that you don't want to hear anything that they say, it's not a good thing. Well, Barney, thank you for taking the time to share with us your thinking in this area and your openness from your own experience. I want to thank everyone who took the time to listen today. I'm Adam Turteltaub from SCCE and HCCA saying, I hope we are able to expand your compliance perspective.